The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
Welcome, Rolien, to the summer solstice here, and I think the winter solstice up where you are.
Well, I don't know what solstice it is here, but it's freezing, cold, and wet.
Not the image one has of Israel.
Absolutely not. We think warm desert, vistas, Scheherazade, camels, all these wonderful things, and it's nothing like that at the moment.
Yes, just goes to prove it can be cold. So I see that Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad have agreed to increase terror attacks against Israel. At the same time, over 100 Hamas operatives were arrested in Hebron.
Well, you know, one would expect that they could use their energy to, you know, improve the lives of Palestinians living under their purview in the Gaza Strip. This is Hamas. Instead, they have reached an agreement with the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, one of the cohorts that is actually under their control in the Gaza Strip. But we do very worryingly have some cells in the West Bank. Now, the Palestinian Authority security forces have been cracking down on them quite significantly, as well as the Israeli security forces. And we know that at least 100 Hamas operatives have been arrested in and around Hebron. And, you know, this follows a terror attack that took place in Hebron over the weekend, where a 65-year-old woman tried to stab another woman, a Jewish worshiper. She was going to the Ma'arat HaMachpelah, the caves of the matriarchs and patriarchs. But why have these two Iranian-backed terror organizations agreed to coordinate their military wings? There is a Din al-Qassam, this is from Hamas, and the Al-Quds, this is Palestinian Islamic Jihad. And this is a deal apparently that was reached in a meeting of the leaders in Lebanon and the Gaza Strip. It's also very interesting to me that their leadership is in Lebanon, or well out of line of fire in the Gaza Strip, while their citizens that live under their governance really have to endure a horrendous humanitarian crisis. So the deal is seen as twofold. Number one, to attack Israelis, especially in Jerusalem and parts of the West Bank, to rack up those numbers. As we discussed yesterday, any terrorist who is killed in while committing a terrorist act, their family receives a significant monthly stipend. And if they're not killed, if they're sent to prison, they receive a significant monthly stipend. So according to a Ramallah-based analyst, the reason they have reached these agreements is to kill Israelis or hurt as many Israelis as possible. But also, they know that attacks on Israel makes Hamas the Palestinian Authority chairman, Mahmoud Abbas, rather, look like he is losing control of the situation. In various meetings and agreements with Israel, and significantly in the last couple of months, we have seen high-ranking officials, including our defense minister, our minister of regional cooperation, meeting with Abbas and high-ranking officials from the Palestinian Authority. And security is an area where there is cooperation. So if these two terror groups attack Israelis, they make Abbas look weak and out of control. And of course, it's in the interest of both the Palestinian Authority and Hamas, Israel rather, to root out Hamas as much as humanly possible.
Yeah, perhaps if the lives of people living in the West Bank were improved, apparent weakness would become strength. Rolien, the U.S. National Security Advisor is expected in Israel today for talks on Iran.
He has just landed.
Right.
This is Jake Sullivan. He is the White House National Security Advisor. He's in the country, of course, to speak about the hot topic of the moment, which is Iran. That's the highest topic on the agenda that we have been told about. And he's going to be meeting with the highest officials, including our Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, President Herzog, Defense Minister Benny Gantz, and our Foreign Minister Yair Lapid. And this is while there are meetings happening in Vienna to try and reach some kind of nuclear deal. From our perspective, we are very, very concerned about the possibility of the Biden administration seeking some kind of interim agreement and not taking as hard a stance as we want them to. What I do find very interesting is Israel's new alliance or strengthening of an alliance with the United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. I wonder, and I'd be interested to hear your perspective, Sarah, if this is because we have had a Brexit or because we have for the moment a much more conservative government in place in the United Kingdom, or if the United Kingdom are the one country that really understands Israel's concerns with regards to Iran. We saw a couple of weeks ago that very, very significant co-authored article in the Daily Telegraph by Yair Lapid and Liz Truss, who's the foreign secretary. So it looks like Israel is turning more and more to the United Kingdom as an ally to deal with Iran.
Well, certainly my impression is that countries like Australia and Canada have a more positive response to Israel's situation. And I think it is the fact that it is a conservative government, and the Labour Party has been dogged by claims of anti-Semitism to very high levels. So I think it's just generally a more, and of course, Brexit gives it the opportunity to act without reference to the EU. Rolene, the Olympic Committee has done an interesting thing. It's banning countries, or rather, countries who ban Israel cannot hold competitions.
Well, this is a really, really significant achievement when it comes to sports. If you were watching the Olympics, and I was, even though I know absolutely nothing about sports, if it involves a bat, a ball, a stick, don't look at me. If it involves fabulous shoes, I'm your girl.
Me too.
But there were some tournaments where competitors refused to compete against Israelis, and they were summarily dismissed from the Olympic Games. And we had a really unpleasant situation last month where Malaysia, who was hosting the World Men's Squash Championships, refused to issue visas to the Israeli men's squash team. And as a result, the tournament was cancelled. So now the Olympic Committee has issued a statement saying, we urge all international federations to be extremely vigilant when allocating and organizing international sports competitions. They have put a policy in place that heads of sports federations must ensure that they receive written assurances from governments who are hosting tournaments that all eligible athletes, teams, competitors will be allowed to compete and be treated equally without any kind of political discrimination. So this is a significant win for Israel. But it's not only Israel. We also had the World Boxing Championship. Again, not a sport that I know. You know, I'll box you for a good sale on a shoe or a bag. But Serbia did not allow Kosovo's boxing team to compete. So really an effort by the Olympic Committee to stamp out political discrimination or the politicizing of sports.
And finally, we're looking at the state of Illinois, which is very much a blue state. We'll vote today for whether or not to divest from Unilever and Ben & Jerry's, presumably because of their decision to boycott products from, or withdraw the sales of their product, rather, from Palestinian territory. quote unquote.
Well, this is the latest state that might enact their anti-BDS laws. And this is twofold. This is first the what they see as a discriminatory and anti-Semitic policy by Ben and Jerry's, who's holding company Unilever, their state has invested and has pension funds in. So if the vote goes ahead today, which it is expected to, despite expected protests by BDS supporters, they will join states like New York, Texas, Florida, and others in divesting hundreds of millions of dollars from Unilever, who's the parent company of Ben and Jerry's. But it also involves something else that the financial...
Sorry, Rolina, I hate to do this to you because I'm quite curious about the ice cream, but we have to go to news, so perhaps we can pick it up tomorrow.
That's a date. That's a deal.